The corner. The corner. The corner. Hey, welcome. Come on into Cousin Ed's Corner. This podcast where you'll find real, authentic conversation. Organic conversation. Unscripted, unfiltered conversation. Like you're at home with your cousin. It's all about life. It's about finance. It's about spirituality. It's about love and everything in between. I'm your host, Cousin Ed. I'm excited to bring you along on this journey. So sit back and listen in as we dive into a wide range of topics. I have some diverse guests coming on with an array of thoughts and opinions. My goal is to create a space all for us to connect and communicate. It's not really about me. It's about the community as a whole. Let's enjoy it. Let's sit back. Let's think about our past. Let's move into our future. It's about
the corner, the corner, the corner. So no matter how you cut it or slice it, we're all here together. I'm just here to give you peace of my heart, my mind, my soul, and my mentals. So sit back, relax, and enjoy another episode of Cousin Ed's Corner. The corner, the corner, the corner.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. What's going on, fam? What's going on? It's your boy, Cousin Ed. We're back again. We're back again. This is Cousin Ed's Corner. And we're going to switch it up this week for Friday. Normally, we have a Thank God It's Friday or we have Financial Freedom Friday. This week, we're going to have this a fun Friday. I'm just going to call it Fun Friday. With all of the March Madness going on, I felt it only right to bring on my brother who's been entrenched in it once before and back entrenched in it again the second time around, bringing him on just to talk about this sports in general, being a good father, being a good husband, being a good brother, being a good man. Just wanted to bring him on and just to salute him, salute my little big nephew. It's just so much I wanted to bring him on and just talk to him about, but my brother, I'm Coach Michael, Mr. Wiggins, all you can say. What's going on, fam?
How much, man? How you doing, man?
I can't call it. So I'm going to give them a little background to how we first came about and came and met and became brothers. We both stayed out in this area of, you know what? I'm a big up Covington, Georgia, right? I'm a big up Covington, Georgia. There's so many players that came out of this area. And we both stayed out here. And he was part of and one of the leaders and organizers of an organization that I still represent today, Choice Management Nights. And one of my son's coaches said, hey, I'm going over to his next team. And I'd like for you to come over and bring EJ. So I brought him over and when you first go someplace, you try to stand back and watch. And the one thing that I saw in this organization was some good brothers. And I was just sitting back and I wanted to see who was going to be around. You always want to see who's around your kid. And I saw loving. I saw compassion. I saw skills. I saw everything that I learned growing up as a basketball player, as a young man, as a kid. In this organization, and started to lend my voice, and they accepted me as their brother, as a coach. And I will say this much: in rocking, Coach Andre may feel kind of offended. We were the two tall guys in the gym, joking around with each other, playing around with each other. So I took me and him. We both in the IT. We took a liking to each other and been brothers ever since. So. Wig, my brother, I'm glad to have you on the show.
Really great to be here, and I'm glad to hear you, speak those words about us and organization. Really appreciate it. Really appreciate it.
Hey, man, it lends to who y'all are, and I'm gonna say who we are because we all stayed together throughout the years. And like I said, Covington, Georgia, some of the talent that's come out of here, I would say definitely is due to what the foundation y'all had and allowing me to be a part of as well. So thank y'all for, you know, just taking on, first of all, my son and taking me in as a brother as well.
Yeah, you're definitely welcome. Definitely welcome. I will say that, you know, Covington and Conyers area, I mean, there's some talent out here. You just have to hone in on it and, you know, teach these kids the right way. You know what I mean? You see some that have potential, you see some that, you know, you want to hold on to and teach them the right way. And, you know, that's what we're all about. I mean, and that's, you saw that as soon as, you know, you met us. And it was just a perfect fit. So that's the beauty of it.
Well, definitely. Well, like I said, I wanted to bring you on. It's March Madness. I wanted to start from the beginning. I always like to back up. I say this to a lot of my guests. I want to hear about who you are. I don't want the pamper story, but what got you to the point where you're at now? And not only in sports, but just your life in general of who you are. So they can have a little background about yourself.
Well, I grew up in Atlanta, Georgia. I moved here when I was six. Decatur, Georgia. I moved here when I was six, and been here ever since. That's really all I know. Decatur, Georgia, the Atlanta area, and the metropolitan. I went to Southwest DeKalb High School. One of my best friends, James Gatewood, who passed away about 6 years ago, we grew up together also. She was wearing, the second grade? And he has three sons now that, you know, I'm Uncle Mike too. So I'm looking after them. I went to Southwest DeKalb, and then from there on, James Gatewood and myself, we went, you know, first to go to Division I out of Southwest DeKalb. I went to Wichita State. He went to SMU. He went on to play overseas. You know, I got my degree in computer science. I chose not to go overseas. I had a really good job for the IT firm, like you talked about earlier. And Formic Software. And, you know, going to Formic 30 years later. So, going pretty well. You know, I got a son, Chauncey Wiggins. He's 20 years old at Clemson University. He's a sophomore. It's just a sophomore season. So, you know, we just staying in the grind. I'm just, you know, teaching the same thing, you know, to everybody. Just my son, everybody I come in contact with, you know. The hard work is no substitute for hard work. You know, if you really want to be somebody and get good at something, you have to put in the work. You know, I mean, if you want to be a writer, you got to read. If you want to be a mathematician, you got to compute. You know what I mean?
It's the hours you put in.
Yeah, it's the hours you put in at anything. You want to be a good cook? You got to be cooking your butt off. You know what I mean? And you're gonna fail sometimes, and you're gonna succeed. But there's no mistake, you know, no doubt about it. It's the work, you know, and you know, the knowledge that you gain by putting in the work.
Exactly.
You know? That's just a little bit about me and, you know, what I stand for. So, you know, I'm a no nonsense guy.
Well,
you know me.
I'll be even more than he's telling you. He comes from great stock. His mom and dad definitely laid down a great foundation for him. Seeing who he came from, you could definitely see the traits coming directly from them, and it keeps going. So definitely big up to mom and dad for getting you where you're at. One thing you hit on that I I thought about the opportunity to go overseas. So when I left, I had a chance. My old coach was over in Puerto Rico. I had a chance to go and you know, speak with him and things like that. But we both took the same road of saying, "Yeah, this money's too good."
I'll be interrupted, but I'll be candid. You know, $3,000 a month with no, you know, for 6 months and no benefits or nothing like that. You know, I was just like, well, you know, $30,000 a year. You know, I don't have any bills, and I got medical benefits, and you know,
I get my apartment.
I can get my car. I can get my rims. You know, I'm getting real.
Oh yeah.
I tell my son the story. I tell, you know, young folk, you know, I'm real with them. You know, so you have to make decisions, you know, in life. And, you know, they're gonna take you places, you know, and you know that you only dream about, that you only, you know, you think about, you know. 21 year old, you're really young at 21, man. You don't know a lot, but you know, you start to figure, I gotta make some decisions because I'm gonna make some mistakes, and I know it's gonna be challenging, but you know, I gotta decide, I gotta make a decision right now. You know what I mean? Is this the path I want to go, or do I want to do something else? So, and I had, you know, two bad knees and, you know, bad, you know, at 21, you know, all that stuff started happening. I see, I'm like, man.
Would you say that for me, it's similar. It's funny you said that. I don't know if we ever talked about my experience and your experience at the same time. I had a major surgery on my ankle, ending my junior year, going into my senior year. I had a major surgery on my ankle. And it became business. It became get this grades and get this degree. And what can I do after that? So I saw it as an opportunity to get a free education. And, you know, it paid off. So I'm just like you, almost 30 years later, working in the same field, doing pretty well in that field that was paid for all the way through. So
we'll see. Well, let me just stop you for a second. See, you said that, you know, you decided that when you had, you know, your ankle, you know, surgery on your ankle. See, I never had surgery, you know, till I got older. But I had tendonitis. I played with tendonitis. You know, I was banged up a lot. But, you know, my freshman year, when I stepped on that floor and my point guard had like a 46-inch vertical, you know, I decided right then, you know, I better get my education. This is business.
Let me ask you one question.
And he was from New Jersey too, Robert George.
Listen, so you know what really changed my life? The movie Hoop Dreams. When I saw that movie and saw Arthur A.G. and William Gates, I said, it's going to be a stretch. I said these two right here, and they
I saw that too. And they were tough.
I said it. But the main thing that we hope for all the kids that we know, not only our kids, is that they get a chance to enjoy the experience behind it, get a chance to meet some great people, have friendships for life. And actually, the main goal is to get a free education from it, I believe.
Exactly.
If God is willing to give them anything afterwards, then, you know, so be it. But if you do those three things, enjoy your college years, get a free education, and meet some great people, not only players, coaches, other teams in the school, just have a great time. If you could do that, it's nothing like it.
Right. I mean, the weird thing about, you know, I tell my son all the time, I remember my freshman year. I remember so much about my freshman year because it was such a shock. Mm-hmm. Like, everything was a shock. Mm-hmm. You know, high school is like you just growing up, you know, just having fun. You know, you work a little bit, but you're not working. I'm like that. But man, I remember a lot. Like, like my friend, like you just talked about, you know, you got free education. Mm-hmm. But man, my first semester, when they said, you know, go up there, go up to the student center and get your books. Man, I went up to the student center. It was a line outside the mm-hmm. window. It had to be at least 300 people in line.
Mm-hmm.
So me and my buddy got in line. Me and my roommate Robert George got in line. And we were like, "Hey, we gotta sit here and wait." And then all of a sudden, the manager came up. He said, "Hey, what are you all standing in line for?" And he said, "What, we trying to get our books?" He was like, "No, you go to the front." I was like, "What?" We went to the front of the line. There was a section for student athletes, basketball players. We didn't have a football team, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We walked straight up. Our books were already in a bag, a white plastic bag. We picked them up. It had our classes in them, and mm-hmm. it had the cost of our books and classes, $12,000.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, "What in the world?"
Now I'm going to stay right there for because some people may get upset with us as we are college athletes. Let me say this: no, student athletes. They may get upset with us and say, "Oh, y'all had it, and I'm still paying student loans and everything else." So, I wrote a paper back in college on this one subject about what we go through, and you talk about being banged up. I talked about surgery.
Oh man.
What we go through as college athletes, right? And they said, "Well, you chose that," and you know, so I want to make sure we're clear on that. Yes, we did choose it, but the amount of money that you can talk about this. I'm gonna ask you this question, two part question about what you see mm-hmm. right now at Clemson, but the amount mm-hmm. of money that a student athlete or a program brings to a school.
Right.
There's nothing like it. So when I wrote my papers right. back when Donald Foyle, and we aging ourselves here, Donald Foyle played for Colgate College, and Colgate College being a small college, they had went to the NCAA, I think maybe Elite Eight, wherever, how far they got that year. And the school enrollment, the school applications went up by over 200% just because they was on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Every time as a student athlete, we walk around, we're a billboard. If you think about Nike and the Fab Five, how much advertisement did they get from those student athletes? So you can speak about it in today's term. I can speak about it in previous term. But most people, when they hear us talk about the things that we were afforded and things we were able to do and experience, they don't forget. They don't know that we couldn't work. Right. So there's no job you can have. You know, they didn't know you had to get up at 3-4 in the morning and go to practice. They didn't know you had to come back to class and go back to practice. So can you speak on some of those things? I don't want to give it all away, but can you speak on some of those things?
Well, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. Because, you know, when freshmen go in, they have no idea. I mean, you can tell them till, you know, they turn pale in the face mm-hmm. that it's going to be rough.
Mm-hmm.
There's a big difference because, you know, you have a job. That's your mm-hmm. job. You know, your job is to make the school money mm-hmm. or at least try to. You know what I mean? Even if you, you know, don't win a lot of games, that's still mm-hmm. your job. Because if you do win a lot of games, like you said, now the enrollment is going up
mm-hmm.
and you're making money. And then TV, I mean, everything is going up. Enrollment, TV contracts, radio contracts,
mm-hmm.
You know, Nike, whatever. I mean, all of it's going up. You, that is your job. And people don't, you know, regular students and people who are pissed and think that it's all, you know, all sunshine. It's really not. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really not. I mean, that's the part that I don't like. But, you know, I mean, life isn't fair, so, you know what I mean? Everybody wants what they want, and that's the bottom line. So, you know, I just, you know, and today, it's really the same, because, you know, I look at my son sending me his schedule, and I'm like, man, this is, you know, but believe it or not, though, it's easier.
Okay. Because
they, they what's the word I want to say? They limit how much you can
regulations.
Yeah. How much you can practice and do all this. Now, you know, they got ways around stuff, but they still, you know, they limit it a lot more than when we were in school. You know, 2-3 hour practices were easy. Two days, and that, you know what I'm saying? They don't do that stuff anymore.
I asked my son, Coach. I said, I said, you haven't run outside and running. You know, we used to run hills and all kind of stuff outside.
Right.
He said, I can't have them on concrete, man. He said, I want to get trouble, man. He said, they got so many on what I could do. He said, man, you doing it.
Yeah. No concrete, no outside. Yeah. I mean, they do some stuff outside, but then, you know, I'm trying to get them to run 3 miles. You're like, damn, we don't do 3 miles. I'm like, what? Yep.
That was before
3 miles. Yeah. Well, that was at 5 o'clock in the morning.
And then
after you ran your 3 miles, then we had to do sprints.
Yeah.
You know, 200, 400.
Yeah.
I mean, so like I said, it's a lot easier, but it's different though. I'm not gonna say, you know, I'm not gonna say it's easy because, you know, he has our workouts and, you know, they're intense. I mean, you know, that's how, you know, the evolution of the game and practice and, you know, changes. So I was like, whew, man, I watch some of the guys work out for an hour, and next thing you know, they're throwing up. Mm-hmm. I mean, because it's like, hey, they're teaching you how to play hard for a short amount of time.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So that's where you get your conditioning,
A lot more science behind it. Not just the brute force behind it. It's a lot more science.
Right.
Definitely understand. So that's talking about, I'm glad you touched on that, because I can hear people now talking about, oh, y'all had it easy. No, it was not easy. Coming home from a game on the road and you coming back at 2-3 in the morning, it had to be the class at 8 o'clock and still got work. It's a lot. So we were fortunate. We're not going to sit here and make it sound like it was totally bad. There's guys right now, guys and girls right now overseas, living due to service and Marine forces and armed forces that's doing a lot more than what we did. So we can't make it sound like the worst thing in the world, but it was something that was definitely different, and we had a chance to experience it. So we definitely enjoyed it. I'm going to back up and go to back to AAU, where it all started for myself and you. I've seen some evolution in AAU now, right? We started seeing more of it a couple of years ago, kids reclassing. It's been a change now. You see kids classing up, classing down. Can you explain what that is, and then how have you seen it change in the last couple of years?
Well, you know, at first I wasn't a fan of reclassing, and you know, sometimes I'm still not if it's not a good, you know, a fit. But you know, with COVID and everything, you know, now it's even more, you know, prevalent, because, you know, coaches aren't looking for young guys anymore, you know, and if they are, they have a plan for them to not play until their junior or senior year.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what kid really wants to do that? You know, I mean, it takes a special kid now to go straight B1. And I mean, so these coaches now, they're like, I'm trying to get the oldest guy in the portal. and regardless if he's got talent or, you know, whatever. He's got experience, and the coaches now want experience. And they're like, I'll take experience over youth any day. Youth and talent. So I mean, that's what I've seen, and that's really what it is. Because I mean, every time I open my phone, you know, it's somebody transferring, and they always put in the comments, you know, such and such transferring, and he's 26 years old. What the? you know. I mean,
I know me and you talked about it when EJ first went to, EJ was 17 years old going to college. He was a young, he had a late birthday, and in his roommate was 22, and in the basketball house, they stayed in the house together. It was a guy that was 26. So he had a learning curve to try to grow up with these grown men at 17 years old. So you imagine right now, this is right after the COVID year. And some people may not understand what we're talking about. So I'm talking French to you, but the COVID year, college athletes were able to get that year back. So normally you're graduating at 21, 22. Now you're graduating at 23. And if you did a year of prep school, that's 24. If you did a red shirt year, that's 25. If you had a medical red shirt, that's 26. So you have kids right now. Yeah. 20. What was that guy just now? 27 years old that was still 27.
Yep. And there's a guy that just went in and he's 26.
Yep.
It just came up on the portal on my Twitter.
So can you? Can you imagine, and let's think about it in layman's terms of today's workforce, you have a person coming out of college who hasn't had any college experience coming to your job today, or you have somebody that's leaving a Fortune 100 company, being a D1 or someplace else, that's coming to you saying, I want to come to your company. Which one are you picking? And it's just, I'm going to take the experience. I'm going to take somebody who's stronger, bigger, and everything else, and, you know, put you in an apprenticeship program where you can go and learn more about what you know, how to do this job properly. So that's what's going on today. It's hard right now for parents to understand that. So that's why I wanted to bring you on, so you can speak about, you know, parents that have the false vision of my kid going D1. Is there anything wrong with a kid? First of all, you already said there's nothing wrong with them sometimes reclassing. But is anything wrong with a kid going to prep school or going to the JUCO route?
Well, not in my opinion. I think that it's a good thing right now because of the COVID and the portal and everything else. I mean, if you got a skinny kid that, you know, it's going to be good, but, you know, he's going to be sitting the bench and, you know, working on his game, working on his strength and so on and so forth. You may as well just go to prep school or JUCO, because I mean, you know, but you got to be careful with JUCO too, though, because sometimes that, you know, I think I can't remember what the rule is, but you know, it does go towards your eligibility,
Yeah, JUCO is essentially still your eligibility. Prep school is not your eligibility,
and prep school. See, that's what I'm saying. I, you know, prep school 1 year, maybe, you know, red shirt, you know, sophomore year, your freshman year, depending on how you, you know, pan out that first year. But, I mean, I think it's a good idea because I'm telling you, freshmen have no chance of playing unless, of course, you're in the top 10, you know. And if you're in the top 10 or top 20, then, you know, your body is already ready. Because, I mean, if you watch the McDonald's All-American game, you know, 90% of those guys look like grown men. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But here again, I'll say, you know, they look like grown men, but when they get out there and they play with grown men, you know,
see a big difference.
You're going to see a difference. You're going to see a difference because I'm a grown man. I don't care who you are. I know you don't either. So, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, I'm putting this young buck in the hole. Yeah, so
look, I'm going back to the Charles Oakley days on purpose.
Right, on purpose. Yeah, right. 5 fouls. I'm definitely gonna use 4 of them.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes. Well, another thing that I see that we saw that a lot of kids think that they're ready for D1, and realistically they're not ready for D1. And there's really nothing wrong with that. And I wanna say it to the parents first. To be realistic, and I want to say it second to the kids, there's nothing wrong with not going D1, right? You're not a failure. And this is no knock to you, Wig, no knock to me. We're both right now working professionally. You went D1, I went D2. At the end of the day, we both had the good experiences. When you're playing ball, if you have the opportunity, take whatever opportunity you have. don't go searching for something that you may not be ready for. I know over the last couple of years, can you speak on some of the kids who went D1 now going backwards because they wasn't ready for that experience?
I really won't bring up any names. I mean, but what I've seen is, you know, parents thinking that they're D1 kids, and you might think that, but when you get out there and you're playing, it's different. It's a different ball game, you know, and. Like I said, you know, you might be a D1 kid, but you're not going to be a D1 person until you're a junior or a senior. You know what I mean? I mean,
that is another big thing.
Because you have to get bigger. You have to get stronger. You have to get faster. And I mean, I even say this about my son. I told my son, I said, you're 190 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have got to get bigger from there. I mean,
amen.
You're not going to play. You know what I mean? You're not going to play. They're thinking you're going to get hurt. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? When you're out there mm-hmm. going against guys that's 250 and 230, 240. Yeah, we're talking about guards. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll never forget when Chauncey was in the ninth grade, he played Team Canada. They had a guard that was 6'4", 230 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, man, this is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. This is ridiculous, man. I couldn't believe it. And he's out there going against, you know, that was a guard. Mm-hmm. Now he had to guard a guy that was, you know, 6'7", 6'8", that was 215.
I remember.
And he was like, you know, 160 pounds. You know, but here again, I say, you know, it's just, you know, those kids, you know, they, you know, a lot of kids want to have the experience of playing, and I totally get it. So it's very difficult to wait until your junior or senior year to get a lot of playing time. So what, you know, the kids have to decide, hey, I want to play. So they have to take a step down. They might have to go D2. They might have to go low D1. They might have to go NAIA. You know what I'm saying? It's just, you know, it's just all depends. But you know, again, the majority of them have to take a step down to be on the court instead of waiting till their senior year. So, because I mean, who wants to do that? You know, play 1 year. I mean, I know I wouldn't. I'm like, okay, if I had that, you know, luckily, you know, I've worked hard enough to start, you know, halfway through my freshman year, and then, you know, proceed on to play.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, a lot of my buddies that came in as freshmen, they didn't. Mm-hmm. They ended up leaving, and you know what I'm saying? Because they wanted to play, and I totally get it. So.
One thing, we're going to wrap it here, and I'd like to have you back another mm-hmm. time. There is so much we can get into on this.
Right.
But, there's so many players that we have coached that had an opportunity. Mm-hmm. I believe they had an opportunity. They loved the game enough to still play.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
But they felt that it was beneath them to go lower. Like you just talked about NAIA, mm-hmm. JUCO, even walk on. I mean, even if you went and did a JV team for a year or two, and
right,
they'd rather be at home because they felt that they deserve more. And I felt that that's a disservice to yourself, because if you really love this game,
you'll play no matter what.
No matter what.
Right. And that's the problem that we see every single day, man. The love for the game, man.
Mm-hmm.
When you find a kid that loves the game, that's the one. They could be terrible. They could be horrible. Mm-hmm. And you know that. We've seen them.
Oh yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We've seen them. We've seen them. But man, they're just constantly working on the game, working hard. And you know, you see the potential. And mm-hmm. but it's like when I, you know, had time to train kids, I would always say, tell the parents, listen, I'm here for you, right? Mm-hmm. But you got to be there for him or her when you get home. Mm-hmm. You have got to work with them. This little money you giving me, I don't want it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I don't want it because I don't want to waste your time.
My time is
and I don't want to waste your money. All right. If you don't love the game, don't come here. Mm-hmm. Don't come here. Because the worst thing I got to do is yell and motivate you. That I refuse. I refuse to try to do that. You know what I mean? What I teach here is what you need to take home and you need to work on every single day, twice a day, three times a day. And when you see that they're making improvements, then you can go on to the next step. A lot of parents, he's not a good trainer because he's not doing all the ins and outs, teaching them all this and that, because they're not ready.
Fundamentals, yeah.
Right. They're not ready. So yeah, go ahead and go to the super trainer, number one. Okay, go ahead and pay him $100 a session and see if he gets any better. See if he gets any better.
Wasting money and time.
You wasting money and time. And you wasting everything.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. Get good at the basics. Find the love. Hey, and when you do that, we can go to the next step. And you know what? I'll even say, you need to go to another trainer.
That's my love.
Right. You need to go to another trainer. Yeah. Because, you know what I'm saying?
Right here. We both played. We both coached. And at certain points, you haven't let your kid go to another trainer because there's only so much I can do for you.
Right. Yep. I mean, it's only so. I mean, even with my son, I took him to trainer.
Yeah, so I'm like, so much.
I'm working with him. Yeah, I'm working with him every day. I'm working with him all day with the basic skill stuff, and he's really good at that. Now he needs to learn some of the other stuff, and I gotta move him on.
Like I said, I'm gonna wrap right here. I definitely wanted to say I definitely appreciate you bringing me into the family, bringing me into the fold. I really appreciate you allowing me the opportunity. And I say this out loud. He allowed me the opportunity to coach his son young, like early. Like he was there in the background, but he allowed me to be one of the coaches. I mean, I always want to give honor to Coach Andre as well, but he allowed me to be one of the coaches, the coach's son, and put his son in my hand. So I give you, I gave EJ you, so we brothers on that. So
I appreciate that, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you. That's my dude right there. So I would love to have you back. Thank you for coming to Cousin Ed's Corner. Now this is one of my other buddies too. Now, for those who know, the brown is up top and the clear is down below. The red cups are on the counter, so you probably got your own cup coming in the door. So you're welcome.
You already know. Appreciate you, Ed.
All right. Hey, listen, guys, if you want to find out about anything about basketball, definitely reach out to me, 762-333-2032. That's 762-333-2032. If you want to leave a voicemail for Coach Wiggins, definitely go to CousinEdsCorner.com. Hit the voicemail button across the top. Ask any question you like, and I'll forward the message to him. We can have him back on for another segment of Cousin Ed's Corner. Appreciate each and every one of y'all. Love y'all. Peace.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to Cousin.